Okay, let's start in English then.
How much should we invest in children's health since everything is in Krishna's hands?
Say that again. How much should we?
Should we invest in children's health since everything is in the hands of Krishna?
In their health? Oh, I'm just same as we should invest in our own health and everyone's health. Prabhupada's formula for life was health, sadhana, service. In that order. You know that? Health, sadhana, service. That's the order of things. You need to be healthy. If you're not healthy, then you can't do sadhana, you can't do service. So there's no question of sacrificing health. I mean, sometimes we make sacrifices, but just like I'm taking care of the deities, in the same way we should be taking care of the body, because the body is the vehicle by which we serve Krishna, by which we become Krishna conscious. Without it, we're going to achieve neither. So we should make all reasonable efforts. Reasonable means that there's going to be a limit beyond which, you know, you can't do anything. But when we say that everything is in Krishna's hands, that means that Krishna's also given us a certain leverage of doing that which is the needful in order to manage life in the material world. It's like everything's in Krishna's hands, but then why do we work? Why don't we just sit here, and if Krishna wants us to eat, someone's going to knock on the door and feed us? Because we're not meant to put Krishna to work to serve us, to start with, and second of all, we may not be able to wait out the first 10 days that Krishna tests us to before he sends someone to knock on the door. So Krishna expects us, no, you take care of feeding yourself, and don't take up Krishna's time with that. You make arrangements how you can feed yourself, have some kind of occupation, and in the meantime, what you should be worried about is becoming Krishna conscious. But make reasonable effort to work. Don't make unreasonable effort. Don't then overwork. Don't go to university for 50 years in order to work for 5. Don't get involved in some kind of work which is really leads to irreligious activities. So reasonable. And same thing, we make reasonable efforts to take care of the health of children. That may vary for different parents. Some parents may decide that they want to inoculate children, others that they don't. That's an individual decision. More about that?
I would like maybe to, I don't know, to make a connection between this question and I was reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, it was a description of the Manus and their life and how much they will live, how many children they will have, what will be their names, and so everything is there described. So what is the limit of our free will when everything is there, it's written down, it's, do you really have, even as devotees, any other free will between otherwise than deciding that we want to serve or not to serve Krishna?
Yeah, it is. Especially devotees, are given even more scope, more room, but it will be within certain limits. So Sukadeva Goswami says what they, he says how many children they will have and who will be the manu. He doesn't say what they're going to eat. He doesn't say, you know, how big a house they're going to live in. He doesn't say whether the manu is going to shave his beard or not. So certain things are destined, and then other things are left for you to work within that range of destiny. It's like Prabhupada gives the example that you get on an airplane, your destination is determined, but where you sit, when you stand up, what you eat, that's up to you, what you're doing on the plane. But you're going someplace, you can't get off. So we have to see that then this is a perennial, it's a philosophical problem, a philosophical question, and it's something that we also need to do, that there's a balance between free will and destiny. And particularly devotees, for the sake of surrender, through surrender, they have the ability to also change their destiny greatly. So they have more choice than just what they're eating and whether they're going to a movie or a disco or something. They actually, ahamtam sarvapapi, by surrendering, they then cut down their karma to whatever extent Krishna gives. And because Krishna decreases their karma, it means it gives them a greater scope. So you see that devotees, when they're in a position of service, and when they're really, say, they're working nicely in Krishna consciousness, they achieve a lot of things and they do a lot of things. And if for some reason they leave Krishna consciousness, their whole scope of life becomes completely narrow again, and they go back to doing whatever they were doing before, and all of a sudden they lost all that empowerment and all that ability to actually do more than what they're capable of by their particular nature. Because Krishna, we say he empowers them, another way to say it is that he gives them much more scope, much more free will. So empowering means that Krishna broadens the spectrum in which devotees are able to make decisions and do things. They're not so limited by their destiny. So it's a what else on that? Got one more, and then I will do a Hungarian version.
I have another question: is what is the meaning of simple living and high thinking for devotees who are living in the city, because ultimately not all devotees will be able to move in a farm community in New Vrajadam or elsewhere.
Ishavas samidam saram, just live by your quota. Don't take more than what you need. If you live in a village, you need this much. If you live in a city, you may need more. But live by what you need. I gave the example the other day, you know, Warren Buffett. He bought a house when he was 30 years old, a 4-bedroom house. He still lives in the same house. He's the 3rd richest person in the world. He still lives in the same house. He doesn't have a mobile telephone or a computer. And he drives some kind of 15-year-old car or something. Doesn't have a chauffeur.
Does this mean that he's...
It's all he needs. Because once you have a... You know, he could have a big palace. Bill Gates built himself a house 10 years ago that cost $40 million or something like that. But when he goes to sleep, he doesn't know the difference. So what you need? What you need? It may be that for preaching you need something, and you know, for your work, what do you need? You have to balance those things out. But that's what simple living and high thinking is. High thinking is the Krishna conscious aspect. And a simple living is that live by what you need and try and keep your work actually to a minimum so that you can have as much time as possible for family, your personal Krishna consciousness, and giving Krishna consciousness to others. Unless for someone their work is their service, then you may do more work. In other words, personal work is something, and then some other, like, you know, Abhiram in Budapest. So now he's taken on one of the restaurants as well, and Attila took on the other, so it increases their work, but that's their service. They're not making any money out of it. They're just doing it to run the restaurant, because devotees don't make good businessmen. Temple devotees or sanctum devotees or so on. So that's what sort of simple living and high thinking would mean in a city context. And that's Varnashram in a city context. At least part of it.